for listening. We can't believe we're still doing this. We can't believe how much money we spend on time. How much on hockey.
Hello and welcome to Youth Hockey Podcast, episode number 28. I was going to be witty and try to come up with some of my favorite players, number 28, but I can't think of any. Can you, Coach?
Claude Giroux.
Was he? He was Devils, right, or was he Philly?
No. How could you say such a thing? cut me deeply. I would never root for the Devils.
Oh, okay.
They're horrible.
But, so Claude Giroux was a Flyer.
He still is. Well, he's not a Flyer anymore. He's the leading scorer of Ottawa. Listen, I don't want to bring people down by explaining to them what it's like to be a Philly Flyer.
I was about to say, Coach.
Goodness. Yes. I mean, there is no lower pole that you can be on in professional sports, I don't think, right now.
But Detroit Lions. I'm sorry, Coach.
I'm sorry. Yeah. The Lions put together a winning streak at the end of last year, and things were looking up for them.
The Flyers used to win like Stanley Cups back when I was young.
They won a couple back in 74 and 75. That was the only ones they won in their history. But anyway.
That's much better than the Lions. The Lions have not even won, I believe, two games in a row since the turn of the century.
But listen, the Lions are bad. They've been sellers, but this is where it's at for the Flyers. At this particular point in time, the NHL trade deadline just expired. We had like 2-3 players that everybody was like, every pundit, every person that is a hockey journalist was like, oh, they're gonna move these couple of guys. They're gonna move the main guy was James Van Riemsdyk, JVR. He's expiring contract. Gonna move him. It's guaranteed. You know, he's a perennial 20 goal scorer. He'll be moved. Frickin' expired. Did not move him. And on top of that, we basically did a trade with the Kings where we swapped players, and everybody's like, a good buddy move where we basically helped the Kings. It wasn't even good for the Flyers.
Speaking of someone from Los Angeles, I think that's probably a good thing. Exactly. If you're helping out the Kings, I think you're doing
I'm one of the few people that can look at that and say, okay, you know, I'm a Kings fan too. So I'm happy for the Kings. But looking at it on its face, like, are you serious? You basically took a contract and helped them out with their cap situation and gave them a player that's been pretty good for us. So anyway.
You know what I love, though, Coach, about the Flyers? Because I think they're the only NHL team that actually drove the Russian national team to walk off the ice middle of the game.
It's a famous hockey story for sure.
Do you remember that, Randy?
No, I'm obviously just a newbie.
Oh, there's some great documentaries about this, but basically the Russian team, like this is before there were Russians in the NHL, Randy, and so the Russians had this the amazing Red Army team, and they came over and they played a series against Canada, they played a whole bunch of different teams NHL teams, and they beat them all. And they were like embarrassing people with their style of rotational hockey. And the Flyers basically played a game against them. And there's a guy named Ed Van Imp, and he took one of their, like, he basically cheap shotted and took the knee out of one of their top players. And the Russians were so incensed by this, they walked off the ice, and the owner of the Flyers went and told them, like, if they don't come back and play the rest of this game, they're not getting paid, because they were going to get, like, I don't know what it was, a few thousand dollars. They needed
a few rubles, just a couple rubles.
Yeah, and so the Flyers basically for the pride of not only the NHL but Canada in general, because 90% of the probably 95% of all the players at that time were all Canadian players, they saved the reputation of the NHL and Canadian team players by beating up on the Russians, and and winning that game. And so it's a famous hockey story. I love
the lore leading into this is why Youth Hockey Podcast is so important to globally, you know, because we're not just for the kids. We're for the kids. We're for the adults. We're for the Russians. We're for the Americans. We're for the Canadians. We're all over the place.
Well, let me ask you guys too. I'm guessing, Lance, you've watched Red Army, the documentary. Randy, yes, you haven't seen also. That, I'm guessing, or
No, I don't watch a lot of television. I like to read.
Right. Sure
you yeah. Right.
That's. I know that's not true because all we do in our spare time is talk about different series we're watching. But
okay, you guys can both
and go documentaries
because there's no. I used to spend my youth going to a used bookstore, and I used to like get like it was half the cover price for the thing, and then I would take home entire series and read them over the weekend.
Like, look at this, an unabridged Hobbit.
No, I love that stuff.
This one's got the Silmarillion.
I love that stuff.
What Randy's not telling you is all the reading material he had usually had fold-out pages and a lot of pictures.
You didn't have to go there, did you?
Red-blooded Colorado-born
boy.
We've discovered Randy's not originally from Colorado, but he grew up there and cut his teeth, as they like to say in Colorado. And so, you know,
a lot of reading.
You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was going to say hearty recommendation for Red Army, not just a good documentary on this story, but a good documentary, like real good, right? Wouldn't you say, Lance?
Yes,
like,
that's awesome. Well, especially if you're a hockey fan.
Because the other, because Randy, we've also talked many times about the documentary about the Russian doping scandal.
Icarus.
Great documentary.
It is.
Anyway, we like our documentaries here at the Youth Hockey Podcast.
Yeah,
if you like hockey, definitely watch Red Army. It's a great story. I can't recommend it enough.
Well, the coach's favorite documentary is the one about the snacks during my game.
Don't bring up the snacks.
Snack Nation, it's called.
Snack Nation, yeah.
So Randy has the big topic of the day that we're all excited to hear about.
Okay, well, I'm not gonna say this is going to like get to the bedrock of youth hockey, but I do believe that this is something that I wish I had known when I started out my journey. And I believe it to be a pretty good fast rule across the entire youth hockey, depending upon. Independent of age group, independent of level. If your kid is not tough as nails, get him a tennis racket, get him out on the court, and get him lessons in tennis. Because the people who make it, I love hockey. And if hockey's for recreation and for fun, 100%. Play hockey. It's a lovely sport all the way through peewee. There's no checking. The kids get to have a great time. Past peewee, I believe that if your kid is not tough as nails mentally and physically, then it's very hard to make that next jump. I have never met a kid that made it to NCAA or further into the WHL. I've never met one of those players who didn't strike me as an absolute tough as nails kid. And I wanted to get your comments on that. I think that because we didn't know that we knew that hockey was a rough sport. I played football for 8 years. There were some kids that were really, really tough. And there were some kids that weren't very tough. And depending on the position you played, you know, there were some positions you didn't have to be as tough. And I'm not going to say them out loud because the wide receivers out there already know that they don't do much anyway. But
wow.
I'm you know,
calling out an entire
on
position.
My team, you know what, I'm sure there's some tough ones out
there. Well, you're right.
There's one that's going to come over my house and kick my butt. Yeah. Yes, exactly. In the trenches, you could not avoid contact. There was no way it was going to happen anyway.
But I would add to that, Randy.
Yes.
When you talk about toughness, I think a huge part of it that goes untalked about is to get to those levels, You got to have mental toughness, right?
No, that's what I said. I said tough as nails on the inside in your head, and tough as nails on the outside with your with what you have physically in your physicality. I think if you don't have both of those, again, it's not as if you should stop playing. I just think you should recalibrate. If your kid is notoriously soft, like one of my kids is.
Wow. Boy,
I love him to death, but I shouldn't push him too far into the hockey world, because this kid is very smart and he's very talented as well. But if you're not, you're not going to go any further if you're not absolutely tough as nails mentally and physically. I'll leave it open to you guys for comments. It's just something that I have been watching, and I wish I kind of knew this at the beginning, because the talent for playing hockey is very, very important. But if you don't have those other two things, I don't think you go anywhere.
Yeah, it's tough, because there's a lot of, like you said, I'm experiencing it all the time, the mental side of the game, And like you said, I mean, I'm sure there's a ton of athletes out there who would have been, just elite skill level, but on the mental side, they couldn't deal with it, and they walk away from the sport. I mean,
and the physical side, if your kid gets injured a bunch, if your kid is prone to getting injuries, it's not his fault. I'm not blaming the person who gets injured. I'm just saying, maybe back off a AAA at that point. Cause I've seen people make decisions with their children. And they're very well-meaning decisions. If in my case, and in the way I look at the game, I would say, one of my kids is very small, but he's pretty tough when it gets out on the ice. He really does. He wants the game so much that he kind of overcomes some of the things that he doesn't have physically. So it's not really just 100% talent. I think a lot of very talented kids are out there. And I think if they don't have those added two things, they're probably at a big disadvantage when you look in the in rising up through hockey. That's all I would say.
I mean, I think you're right. I mean, I think especially, I'm talking strictly hockey here, but, you see these kids that are built like Lawrence Taylor of the New York Giants. And those guys, like you said, you rarely see those guys typically being helped off the ice, missing games because of injuries, because they're just so rock solid, heavy players, that people bounce off of them,
Yeah. And it gets to the point, I think, especially at the top of the game, I think it gets to the point where it's very frustrating. But how many times, coach, have you seen where somebody says, oh yeah, that's my sixth concussion? A kid will say that out loud, and you go, oh man, you should have pulled the cord after three, or whatever. You know what I mean? Right. If you are
how getting, does a kid know he's had six concussions is what I want to know.
Well, I don't know, but I mean, diagnosed, maybe they've actually diagnosed them all. I think who I'm talking about.
Yeah, if a kid is prone to that,
well, yes,
you find out pretty quickly. You got to kind of look at it as sport really worth the long-term brain damage.
Absolutely.
But then here's the thing.
No, I'm just saying if you have. I know.
I'm just saying it's a fine line.
Kids that were on the high school team that had multiple concussions, and once you knew that was coming down the pike, I think you get out.
Well, okay. So I mean, I can't sit in judgment, because I definitely had multiple concussions in 1 year.
I did too. You can
as far
tell
as anybody
podcast,
knows, I'm
think.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, you're fantastic, coach. You are you're the best. You're sharp as a tack.
I had plenty of years to
insightful.
Get over that.
Yeah, exactly.
That amount of brain damage, whatever I had. Now it's a fine line, because there are people who are like, well, hockey is a sport that has contact, so do not. I would never have my kid play that sport. Same, you know, same with football, same with baseball, probably anything, soccer, you know, there are people that, you know, they've actually, I think, come out with a lot more understanding now, because it used to be like when kids were young in a lot of these, you know, soccer heavy countries, they'd be out there doing headers. And, you know, they've changed that because they found out that kids were getting concussed by, you know, doing headers and getting hit with hitting their heads on a soccer ball a lot. So, you know, I think.
Yeah, soccer comes in just after lacrosse, by the way. It goes rugby, ice hockey, football, lacrosse, and then soccer.
Yeah, lacrosse definitely. It's interesting you say that, because my kid plays both hockey and lacrosse. And he has said that lacrosse was, in his words, at times way rougher and more painful. But I think there's this does kind of come up to a question of, you know, is there also sort of a life lesson in some of these sports? I do think that you don't play something if you don't really have a love for it. And if you play hockey, you're going to encounter situations where you are in pain. You will take a shot off your foot. You may take a few shots off your foot. You might fall awkwardly and crack your elbow on the ice. You might, you know, a lot of things can happen and that cause pain. And I think there's a lesson there's a lesson in any sport like this where, okay, you know, maybe it's a Nietzsche type of, if it doesn't kill you, makes you stronger type of thing. But kids, you know, can learn that, you know, you're not gonna die if because you sustain a little pain. And
wasn't Nietzsche a famous philosopher?
He was indeed, yes. Friedrich Nietzsche, I believe.
Yeah, or Nietzsche. Yeah. How do you pronounce it? What's the
problem? I thought it was Nietzsche.
Nietzsche.
Oh, all right.
Well, anyway.
Well, let me ask you a question, Coach.
Yep.
Because this might be a good learning experience for some of the parents. And since you've gone through it, you're a good person to answer the question. Now, I've always been told that when your child sustains a concussion, that a second, third, and fourth concussion, they become successfully easier to get, I guess. I'm not sure how to phrase that. But the right. first one you get, then the second one is going to be a lot less contact than the first one, and then it progressively gets worse. Is that true from your experience?
I mean, I'm not a doctor, so what I've seen and read is not so much a concern of progression. It's more a concern that if you get one and then it goes undiagnosed and then you get hit again, that in a way that, you know, juggles the brain, you can have much more severe damage than otherwise you might have had. And that's the lesson of a lot of people that really got debilitated, is they often had a couple in a row. And sometimes, you know, and especially in the NHL, there's a lot of documentation on this, because it happened to Sidney Crosby. And right before this happened, there was a string of a bunch of really top-notch players whose careers were ended essentially by concussions. And they were talking about how bad things were for them, like guys not being able to leave their house, you know, sensitivity to any form of light, any form of conversation, guys literally just having to sit in a darkened room for like a year.
Adam Deadmarsh is one of them.
Yeah. So when they finally started to get this, and same thing happened in the NFL, you know, there's that whole, there's a couple of good movies about that topic. You know, how these sports, professional sports especially, were kind of in denial about this. But now they have a lot more research. I will say BU, where I went, is one of the places that has a research group in the university that's kind of been upfront with this, and got a lot. They've had a lot of players where they've ex-players where when they passed away, they put in their will to have their brain sent to be studied there. And so they, you know, they see that these CTE symptoms, you know, in the brain, you'll have people that were, you know, a brain looks like a 80-year-old when it's like a 40-year-old guy that killed himself and a lot of changes in personality and whatnot. But the problem is it's different for individual people. Some people are very prone to it. Others aren't. And so it's really hard to say. I don't think they know. Now,
do you ever think that they're going to have like a podcaster brains, like up for like you know, when the podcaster that like, look what makes a great podcast.
Now, no one's would reached you sign, out to me yet?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Would you sign your brain over to be looked at for like, let's say they said they want for the posterity. Strongest podcasters.
Only if it could be in a jar that can be used in a
life in a jar. Yeah,
in a film.
Do you mind if I quote something from Friedrich Nietzsche that might help with this topic?
Yes, sure. But hang on. Let me hold you on that because I want to make one last point here. So, interestingly enough, there is a device that has been rigorously tested and has been shown to substantially reduce concussions. It's not a helmet. And I only kind of became aware of this recently. But let me ask you this. So so I'll just describe what it does. It's a thing that the kid wears on their neck, and it goes over, it's a thin sort of thing. And what it does is it sort of presses on their jugular vein and increases the pressure, intracranial pressure. And that just by doing that, there's less jiggling of the brain under when they're receive contact. Okay. Wow. So that's funny. Now this device costs $300. What do you guys think? Now knowing that this exists, because I'm really I'm thinking about this, you know, getting one of these for my kid.
Oh yeah. Are you kidding me? Anything
spend $300 on this. No, you know, again, this well, make sure really it new.
Make sure it doesn't like, just so you know, anything that's going to increase intracranial pressure could also up the chance of a stroke. Up the chance of a stroke.
I mean, they've studied this quite a bit. I think
I agree.
I didn't see anything about this.
No, that's my only warning. I don't think that I know more than the people that have developed this.
Right.
I merely say, the one thing I would ask, and I'd ask the question of people who have no financial stake in the market, can this lead to bleeding in the brain or stroke or aneurysm? Or is that just, you know, is that just me and my imagination?
Right. Well, I mean,
but you know what, Randy, that's the first thing that went through my head.
Yeah. That's exactly right. Anytime you increase the pressure.
I don't think it's not like putting it on, you know, causes you to have your head like pulsating with blood. You know, it's just slight elevation, but
that's
but
what
they
I mean.
Studied and, it and found a slight that it's
elevation
very
might mean nothing. Yeah, absolutely. Right. That's exactly what I'm saying, Coach. I'm saying, you know, just because things like that scare us doesn't mean that they're not extremely valuable. You know,
what's more likely to happen? So that's the question. In a world where the world basically went and, the vast majority of us got vaccine.
You're about to lose half of our audience.
The vast majority of us got a vaccine, whether it be mandated by their state or whatnot.
Oh, shit. We were so good in Nebraska up until this moment, Coach.
Okay, hang on.
Go ahead.
Let's get through it. So people did that. In the case of this device, it's far more likely that there's going to be your kid who plays one or more contact sports is going to get a concussion or multiple concussions. If this could really help very much lessen that or lessen the severity, is that a chance worth taking? What do you guys think? But you might not even know this thing exists, so I bet afterwards you'll be looking it up. But
it's great information. Yeah. By the way,
what do you guys think?
No matter how crazy you are,
the $300
lid brain bleeding and stuff like that. No matter how nuts you turned out to be, I love the idea.
I didn't invent it, man. Come on, it's a commercial product that's got American Medical Association endorsement, I believe. So
yeah, man. As long as
they've never done anything wrong.
The question is, do you guys? Oh gosh. You're sounding so much like a Colorado person.
Well, of course I am. What the hell do you think I'm going to do? Like step out from under my roots? Roots are there for
next thing you know, you'll be saying, I had to get that jab and we'll start using all these different
things. There you go. Go ahead, coach. You go ahead and beat me into submission with your goddamned cowboy shit.
Come on. You got your kid. Wow. You got your kid the biggest helmet I've ever seen.
No, I agree.
He's like dark helmet.
No, he is 90% helmet, 10% child. I agree.
You went and you got the helmet recommendations.
And I like it.
And you were like,
what's the stupidest thing I can spend my money on?
10 of 10 on this.
Hey, coach, have you ever seen Spaceballs?
They printed it on his head and he can't take it off.
That's the helmet they're in.
Dark helmet, yeah.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, I was like, how does that kid... Like, his neck muscles must be incredible.
They're amazing. That kid...
And also, the way
I bubble wrapped him, I thought you'd like the fact that I bubble wrapped him 100%.
Your son has a large cranium because we know this because I tried to buy the same helmet for my kid and it just never would not fit on him. So it was like expensive helmet. Not the one you're talking about. This is before that. Your son had a helmet. And at the time my kid needed a new helmet and you were like, oh, that's great helmet. So we bought the exact same one and it never fit. And we had to eat it. I think we just ate that helmet. It was like a $200 helmet or something.
I tell you what, give it to us. We'll figure out.
I'll put it on eBay. That thing looked like it was custom made for your son. Like his head just was perfect for that helmet.
He had a big dome. My kid had a big, big dome. Yes. But yeah, I think coach, getting back to your thing, if it is something that you believe in and you think
I'm asking you guys. I'm already on the fence.
My answer is this. If I'm comfortable that it's safe to use, I 100% would use it.
Me too. That's exactly right. If I am comfortable.
I can say about this is it's already being worn by people in the NFL, people that play pro lacrosse, people that play NCAA Division I lacrosse. It's already being worn by a bunch of these people. So,
I'd give it a year to make certain that none of
is
those.
It safe? Been out for.
Well, let me ask you a question. Was it worn by that guy that had the incident on the field?
What incident?
What was his name? Remember, he had like a heart attack. Oh, that guy.
No, I don't think.
I don't think so.
I guarantee if he was wearing it,
somebody would have.
There would have been discussion.
That would have been somebody that's like, "Hey, you're wearing that stupid thing."
I want to say one thing,
which is that which does not kill us makes us stronger.
Is that Nietzsche?
Friedrich Nietzsche. That's exactly right.
Nietzsche.
Well, I wanted to get back to that because that is what I am talking about.
So four or five concussions.
Yes.
Just makes you tougher.
Well, that does not kill you in hockey makes you stronger in hockey. That gives you concussions. I think you get out. What I mean. If you don't, and also like, it's not just concussions, man. We've talked about concussions before.
Right.
If your kid breaks bones, really, you know that we've been around some kids that have like broken bones again and again.
There's a kid that I know of that I just saw recently. So this kid, a couple of years ago, my son played on a team and he had a teammate and his older brother was on the team 1 year higher. And that kid had a really bad knee injury and rehabbed and missed the whole rest of the year. And this kid is like one of their best defensive players on the team. A couple years go by, fast forward to this year, the team that he's on is one of the top 10 teams in the country. Injures the knee again. Got to say, felt terrible for the kid, but just called it a day. Going to college. Mm-hmm. He's in a college program. Happy for the kid. He got into this exclusive college program having to do with some other type of sport that he likes. And I was just thinking that, like, to me, that's the I try and put myself back in my, like, 18-year-old mindset. Like, that I can't – that would have been so devastating to have spent your whole career and become really good at something. And then you get these injuries and there's nothing you can do. I've seen plenty of kids. And actually, Lance, one of your sons has gone through a series of injuries, and he keeps battling back. Maybe this goes back to your point, Randy, of like, there's got to be an internal, whatever it is, engine running in that kid to say, I want to keep coming back from this. I'm going to go through it. I'm going to, battle back through the injury.
I think that is part of it, by the way. When I say toughness, it doesn't mean that you don't get injured. I don't think anybody can not get injured if you get hit the wrong way. I think there's a lot of shades of gray in between these things. And I certainly am not trying to tell anybody out there listening that if their kid got hurt, he's not right for the sport. No, that's not at all it. It's if you start seeing your kid, if you start seeing your kid getting a bunch of injuries or repetitive injuries in one area, find something less contact, less of a contact sport, because I don't think that most people grow out of that. Like you said, Lance, with concussions, I think that more often it becomes chronic and the injury starts coming back and hurting their quality of life. So that's what I would say I don't want to see most of all is a kid spend a lot of time in pain because of not wanting to change their trajectory in a sport. Change the trajectory if you need to. That's part of being in any of these sports.
Yeah.
I agree.
Okay, guys, I got one last thing, a little game for you, because we started this a little earlier. Found out rugby, ice hockey, American football, lacrosse, and soccer are the first five. Gentlemen, if you can, I'm going to go one by one, and you tell me what is 6 through 11 on this list. You get a point for everyone you get right. We'll start with Lance. What do you think?
What list is this again?
Most concussions per time playing this sport.
What were the top five again?
Five. Rugby, ice hockey, American football, lacrosse, and soccer. Go for anything else? Okay. Lance, let's start with you.
Holy moly. Pickleball.
Pickleball is not on the list, Coach.
So that was your guess, pickleball.
No, we keep going though. We got
to be
going.
Clear though. That was an honest.
We don't know what he's talking
best
about.
Best attempt.
Yeah, he just figured out the.
I don't think there's
button.
Ever been a concussion in pickleball. Maybe someone trying to walk.
Hey, I almost court. Got one when Randy was.
Lance and I played pickleball. By the way,
did you hit him in the head?
It was a lot of fun. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Sports where you get concussions. Wow, this is tough. Well, once you get past those first ones, did we say baseball?
Baseball, you got 1 point, Lance. Baseball, 7.
Okay.
What's that? Bicycle 9. Racing.
Bicycle racing, no. Lance, Coach.
Skateboarding / extreme sports.
Don't have that on the list, Lance.
Oh, Randy, Dave gave me a good one. How about skiing?
Skiing, no, Coach.
Oh. We're good at this game.
You're terrible.
Yeah, these are tough. I'm trying to think of sports.
Choose any of the major sports and you'll probably get one.
Oh, basketball.
Basketball is on the list. That's 2 for Dave. Lance.
Well, I thought we already named all the major sports. And you said rugby already, right? Was it the top five?
We have, yeah. It's number one. In fact, by a large margin, rugby is number one.
Okay, Australian rules football.
Okay, that's the end of this sport. Coach Raleigh, you win. Number 6 was wrestling. Then we had field hockey at number 8. The one that I thought you never would get, and as I can tell from how well you did, you never would have gotten this. Cheerleading is number 10, and volleyball. Volleyball is number 11. So there we
go. Okay, now am I going to get in trouble, but is cheerleading a sport?
Oh, yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
You're very red state. I can't believe you guys would talk that way. Next year, you're going to deny vaccines. I can feel it. I'm not going to be on this podcast with any of you.
Yes. I don't care how many people turn this podcast off and never listen again, but I'm going to the
mat. Oh, God. Just a second. Is there a way to mute him? There, I just muted the coach. I did it. Oh, poor David. Anyway, thank you all for listening to the Youth Hockey Podcast. Should I unmute him now?
He's going to get mad if you don't.
He's going to be really mad, yeah. Yeah, I don't know how
to. You know how to do it?
I can't. Yeah, I can't unmute him. I muted him, and now I can't unmute.
Well, he can. He can unmute.
He himself. Can unmute himself. Yeah, that's what it says. I'll ask him to unmute. Anyway, thank you all.
All for right, hang on now. As I was saying, and I hope that everyone agrees with me.
Yes. Go ahead.
We're listening.
Oh, you actually want to hear it now.
Yes, go ahead. I'm not going to mute you again.
Okay. You can break down all sports into two categories.
Yes, sir.
There's sports which have an objective way that you win.
Yes.
And then there's sports with quotes, air quotes, where someone judges you.
Oh, God.
And I'm not saying that these aren't amazing activities, but if
so he's throwing figure skating.
He is
there.
Throwing
figure skating,
all of these things,
cheerleading,
under the
gymnastics. Yes. I say this as someone who had a child who did competitive gymnastics. Oh. There's nothing more infuriating than watching your kid. Well, anyway, it's a whole nother episode.
I believe you, Coach. I'm sorry I muted you. Thank you all for listening to the Youth Hockey Podcast, and I guess all other sports that have an actual end to them and a way to win. And we really appreciate, if you have anything you would like to ask us, please email us at youthhockeypodcast@gmail.com, or you can email the coach directly at
youthhockeypodcast@gmail.com.
I wanted to go to home, and you can call him at, no, I won't do that.
The coach anyway, at gmail.com.
There will be no doxing on this program. No doxing on this program. Thank you for listening. And we hope you're having a good playoff run wherever you are in the country. Bye.
Remember to visit Gabe Gifford Hockey. The link is in the description and the webpage below.